Last week we talked about not quitting your course. Not quitting your course. In other words, persevering the course, the race that is set before you. I'm just going to kind of briefly recap, summarize last week's message. And you know, friend, there is something that God wants you to do on this earth. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a divine destiny and purpose. And God has got a plan, an end, and a destiny, a future for your life. And I want to read this scripture to you again. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God has got awesome plans for your life. Is that good news? All right. And once you begin the course in your life, the race that God has for you, short or long term, you have got to be faithful to stay the course, like the second hand of a clock. You know, the second hand on a clock, on a watch, ticks faithfully. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. You've got to have that second hand quality. In other words, when the going gets tough in pursuing your race and pursuing your call, the tough in God get going. You know, as you pursue your race, as you pursue the course that God has for you, you're going to go through some low times, through some valley times. And it's in the low times, the valley times, that people sometimes quit. But my word to you today is this. In God, by faith in God, continue to persevere and not quit when the going gets tough. And, you know, will you finish your race in spite of the challenges? Will you finish your race in spite of the challenge? Now, the big question today is this. Is what course does God have for your life? Hearing from God about your course. What course does God have for your life? Is it getting a 4-year bachelor's degree? Is it writing a book? Is it becoming a nurse, a doctor, starting your own business, becoming a teacher of God's word? What is it that God has for you on this earth? God has got something for you. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a purpose, with a plan, with a destiny from God. So the question today we're gonna talk about is, what course does God have for your life? You know, you may have a good idea of what you want to do with your life, but good is the enemy of best. Let me say it again. You may have a good idea of what you want to do with your life, but good is the enemy of best. You know, in your mind, you might be thinking, for the rest of my life, I just want to work at the BOK Center and be a janitor, a maintenance person. And God is saying, no, that's a good idea, but I've got something that's my best idea for your life. Is to go over and above, to not just be a janitor and clean and maintain the BOK Center, but I eventually want you to become a manager. So you may have a good idea of what God wants for you, but God has got His best idea for your life. Remember this, good is the enemy of best. And a lot of times as you're going through life, you're trying to find out what it is that you're called to do in life. You start thinking with your finite mind. I've done this in the past. You start thinking, man, what's a good thing that I can do with my life? Man, this sounds like a good thing. I could work at such and such. I can become a teacher at such and such a school. I can go for such and such a technical trade. I can do this, I can do that. And God is saying, no, I've got something better. See, if you turn to your finite mind and try to figure it out with your own mind, you'll only end up doing the good thing with your life. But if you go to the mind of God, if you go to the Spirit of Almighty God, you'll end up doing the best thing that God has for your life. Is that good news? Amen. Amen. All right. Doing God's best thing for your life. But in order to find out God's best course for your life, you have got to talk to God. It's plain and simple. In order to find out God's best race, course, calling for your life, you have got to talk to God in prayer and say, God, you know what? I'm a little confused here. I'm thinking that this is a good idea for my life. I think it's a good idea to be involved with this church or this ministry or to go to this school or to get involved with this trade or this career or to work at this place or to get involved with a relationship with this certain person. God, I'm kind of confused here. I've got several options and you're trying to figure it out with your mind and say, God, I don't know what to do. And so, God, I'm talking to you. I'm praying to you. God, what is it that you want me to do? And so I encourage you, friend, if you're in a state of confusion right now and you don't know what to do with your life, you're kind of stuck here at the shelter, you're kind of just like stuck and don't know where to go, start talking to God. Is that good news? Is that making sense? Just pray to God, and God'll respond to your prayer. If you talk to God, if you pray to God and say, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? I guarantee that God will respond to your request. And He's going to show you the best route for you to take with your life. God is going to speak to you, but the question is, are you listening? Acts chapter 9. Let's talk about Saul, who was later changed to Paul, Saul. In Acts chapter 9, it says, meanwhile, Acts 9:1, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the followers of the way. He was breathing out murderous threats against Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting Christians. And so one day he was thrown to the ground, and Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So in this instance, in Acts chapter 9, we know that Jesus spoke to Saul with an audible voice. What does it mean, an audible voice? In other words, Saul physically, with his physical ears, heard the physical voice of Jesus, saying, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then Jesus says, now go up and get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now Jesus says to Saul, you will be told what you must do, which kind of makes us think that Saul might have asked Jesus what? The same question we might be asking God today. Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? Right? And Jesus responds, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And through a series of events, as you read Acts chapter 9 and forward, it's revealed to Saul what he's supposed to do. And he becomes a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. He became a strong evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Saul was wondering the question, Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Go into the city. And it's the same way perhaps with us today. You might be asking, God, Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? And I guarantee that just the way God revealed it to Saul, He's going to reveal it to you about what He's wanting you to do with your life. And Saul ended up pursuing God's best course for his life. He was once a persecutor. He became an evangelist of the gospel of Jesus Christ, winning many to Christ and establishing churches in Asia Minor. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But the question is this. God is speaking. Are you listening? And how does God speak? Hearing from God concerning the course of your life. Hearing from God concerning the course of your life. You might be crying out to God, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And God is wanting to respond. But the question is, how does God respond? What does the voice of God sound like to us? How does God respond? How does God speak? Proverbs 20, verse 27. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. Another translation says, the spirit of man is the Lord's lamp. The spirit of man, the spirit of woman is the Lord's lamp. In other words, God guides you by His Spirit, communicating with your human spirits. Look what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 12. This is what he writes. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for had they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. It says, we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Paul writes also in 1 Corinthians 3 that your body is what? 1 Corinthians 3:16, that your body is God's temple. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt where? In a physical temple, in the Holy of Holies. Guess where the New Covenant temple is today? It's in you, it's in me. The Spirit of God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God takes up residence on the inside of you and me. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, who knows the deep things of God, wants to reveal the deep things of God to our human spirits. The Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you as a believer in Christ wants to communicate with your human spirit about what it is that God is wanting you to do with your life. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, on the inside of me. And the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us wants to communicate with our human spirit. So that if you got a question for God, God, is this the course you wanted me to take? Is this the person you want me to marry? Is this the school you want me to go to? Do you want me to move to Dallas? Do you want me to go to this church? Do you want me to take on this job? And if the Spirit of God is saying yes to your human spirit, you'll have a peace on the inside that surpasses all human understanding. But if you pose that same question to God, God, are you wanting me to write this book? Are you wanting me to become a nurse? Are you wanting me to go to this school? And God's Spirit is saying no, you'll have no peace on the inside. See, when you don't get that peace on the inside, God is saying no, that's not the course I want you to take. But if you're wondering, you're praying, you're questioning God and saying, is this the path you want me to take? And God is saying, yes, you'll have a peace on the inside in your spirit that surpasses any human understanding. And that peace is God's Spirit saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. You know what the world calls it? Those who are not Christians? The world calls it following your gut. The Spirit of God wants to communicate to your human spirit with the voice of peace. Now, some of you may have heard this before, but when I was 18, I was debating on which university to go to. I was finishing high school. This was January of 92. I came home one day and had applied to like four different colleges on the East Coast. Just had no peace on the inside. And I was just wondering, God, where do you want me to go? And I came home one day, and my dad happened to be reading a book, a booklet by Oral Roberts. Most of us have heard of Oral Roberts, right? Reading a booklet there back in January of 92. And as he was reading this booklet, got to the end of it, God spoke to him and said, Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University. So I came home from high school that day, and he took me down to his office in the basement, it was. And he said, Jonathan, I It's going to be hard to let you go, but as I was praying today, the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said that Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University.
Where did you come from?
From the East, from New Jersey. I was living in New Jersey at the time. So I was in New Jersey, and my dad said, you know, the Spirit of God just said this. And when my dad communicated that to me, friend, I kid you not, there was a peace on the inside of me that surpassed any human understanding. It was like God was saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to ORU, get your degree there, and go from there. And had I not gone to ORU, I wouldn't be here today ministering to you guys. Excuse me? Adversary of what?
What's it called whenever you become a
adversary?
Right, right. But you know, that day when I came home and my dad spoke to me and I was debating on which university to go to, and he said, you know, God spoke to me. My dad said, God spoke to me and said, Jonathan is to go to ORU. He told me that, and it was just a peace on the inside. God was saying, this is the course I want you to take. And friend, I kid you not, I was about, oh, I don't know how many points short I was, but I was about 20, I think it was like 20 points short on my SAT from getting an academic scholarship. And I called up ORU, they said, retake the SAT. If you get those points, I think it was 20 points, we'll give you the scholarship. I kid you not, I called them up, I retook the SAT a few months later in like April of 92, and I kid you not, I got 20 points more and I received the scholarship. That was a confirmation to me that God was saying, this is the course I want you to run at this point in your life from 92 to 96 is to go to ORU. If God can speak to me with the voice of peace on the inside, friend, He can do the same for you. Is that making sense? God is no respecter of persons, but it all begins with accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. All right. Another way that God speaks is how. Anybody have another idea of how God speaks? Another way that God speaks is through His written word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Friends, you may be in some dark confusion right now in your life, kind of trying to decide what steps to take next, what course to take. Guess what? God's Word wants to reveal it to you. It's like if this room is pitch dark at midnight, right? If it's pitch dark, you'd be bumping into walls, bumping over chairs, you know, kind of falling over chairs. You can't see anything, right? But as soon as you turn the light switch on, the darkness disappears. And the path is made clear. You're not going to bump into walls. You're not going to trip over chairs. Does that make sense? It's the same way with God's Word. As soon as you turn on the switch of God's Word, it makes the path clear in your life so that you start finding out what God is wanting you to do concerning different areas of your life. But in order for God's Word to speak to you and to be a light unto your path, it's got to be on the inside of you. See, God's Word, written Word, is going to do no good sitting up on a shelf, sitting in your bag, on your mat, collecting dust. Is that making sense? The Word of God, man, doesn't need to be sitting up on the shelf. It doesn't need to be in your bag. It needs to be in your heart. And for the Word of God to get into your heart, you've got to be doing what? You've got to be reading it and meditating upon it. Reading the Word of God on a consistent basis and thinking about what you read. All right? Say for instance, you've been meditating on God's Word and you come across a scripture that talks about forgiving your fellow man. And you're reading in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and you run across the scripture that talks about forgiveness. Let's say you go throughout the day at work or whatever it might be and somebody says something to really offend you, does something to really insult you. Maybe they talked about your weight, maybe they lied about you. And all at once, on the inside, the Spirit of God says, remember what you read in my word this morning. Forgive your offender. That's the Word of God speaking to you, right? But in order for the Word of God to speak to you, remember, it's got to be on the inside of you. How does it get on the inside of you? Anybody? How does the Word of God get on the inside of you? Through the eye channel. By reading it. By meditating on it. Thinking about what you read. Amen? Another way that that God can speak. Another way that God can speak is through dreams and visions. Yes, sir.
How do you know it's not the conscience of the Word of God?
When what?
Of the Word of God.
Well, if it's the Word of God that comes out of your spirit, you've been studying it, meditating on it, it's the Word of God speaking to you. It comes in through the mind, through the eyes to the mind and into the spirit. But if it's quickened to you and you're like, man, this is what the Word of God says, I remember this. That's God speaking to you through His Word. Another way that God speaks is through dreams and visions. Finally, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Herod was out to take the life of baby Jesus. And it says in Matthew 2 verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a what? In a dream. And then later on in verse 19 it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So twice God spoke to Joseph in a what? In a dream. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that another way that God can speak to you concerning the course, the race of your life is through dreams and visions. Not all dreams are from God. Remember this. If a dream causes torment, if it causes like a nightmare, that's not from God. Because it's fear-inducing. But if you dream this dream, you got peace on the inside, you remember what you dreamt, that's God trying to speak to you saying, this is what I want you to do. I've had God speak to me on a number of occasions through dreams at night. If He can do it with me, God can speak to you through a dream.
Right.
All we got to do is cry out and say, God, what are you wanting me to do with my life right now for the short term, for the next year, for the next 2 years? And God can speak to you by His Spirit, by His Word, through a dream. And then you might be crying out, God, after that, God, what are you wanting me to do with in the next 10 years of my life, with the next 15 years of my life? And God can also speak to you concerning that. Is that making sense?
Yes.
God has got a course for you to run. He's got a destiny. He's got an end. But you know what? Don't go to your mind and try to figure it out. Go to God and say, God, what are you wanting me to do with my life? Like Saul did. God, what are you wanting me to do with my life? And God will speak to you. Are you listening? And after you hear the voice of God, not only should you listen, but you need to also obey what God is telling you to do. Listening is half the puzzle. Obeying what God is telling you to do is the other half of the puzzle of fulfilling God's destiny for your life. Amen?